Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. The sound of a woman screaming, pure human agony, is how the Huntington Theater Company's production of Ether Dome begins.
She's screaming and suffering because doctors are performing dental surgery on her without anesthesia. The year is 1846, when most surgeries were barbaric operations done without the benefit of painkillers.
The play tells the story of a momentous advance in modern medicine, the discovery of ether. It's set largely at Massachusetts General Hospital, home of the famous Ether Dome, where the first public surgery using an anesthetic was performed.
The play, Ether Dome, also tells the story of four men who jockeyed for credit for this world-changing invention. A dentist named Horace Wells, his student, William Morton, and two Mass General surgeons, Charles Jackson and John Warren.
Earlier today, Ether Dome's playwright, Elizabeth Egloff, came to our studios, and we asked her about the play's ghastly opening scene, in which a patient with a gangrenous arm that needs to be amputated is rolled out in a coffin-like locked box. It has vents so she can breathe and a round opening for her bad arm to stick out of. She's yelling in terror because she's been given no anesthesia. Then a surgeon approaches with a saw and begins to cut.
That is probably the most brutal scene in the play. The first person who did the special effects for that moment was a man from L.A. who professionally does zombie movies.
So he's good at gore and blood and scars.
He's very good at it. And I was standing right next to him when he first demonstrated the effect on the arm. I was 3 feet from the arm, and I began to feel dizzy.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that because I was with a friend who needed to turn away during certain scenes, even
yes.
though it was clearly fake blood, but it had that effect on her.
Well, and I said to this man, I am afraid this is going to be too much for the audience. And he said, don't worry. People will leave because of sex, but they never leave because of violence. And it has been true. We've had a few people here and there who have had to leave, but less than a handful. There were two people in Hartford at a performance who simultaneously began to feel faint and slide out of their seats. Luckily, there were enough doctors in the audience that they revived them. And both people refused to leave the performance.
And we should say that I do think it's set in the context of humor, serious humor. I mean,
it
gets across.
Yes.
But it really makes clear that the stakes were high and there was a need to find a different way to do this.
Yes. Ether had been around, but it had been regarded as poisonous, and it was because nobody had really worked with it. In actuality, people had been using it in tiny bits to medicate toothache or to help themselves go to sleep, and it was sheer luck that William Morton, when he first gave ether to Dr. Warren's patient in the dome, it was sheer luck that he didn't kill him.
By giving him too much.
Yes, because he didn't know what he was doing. He had never used this delivery vehicle before. And it is a fluke that he didn't kill the patient.
Well, I also thought it was interesting that basically nitrous oxide or laughing gas, sort of the precursor in a way, was really almost like a recreational club drug of the 1850s.
Yes, well, there were a lot of recreational drugs from the 1820s on. They were taken at home during family parties. They were, but it was really adolescents who knew them best.
Of course.
As now.
As in life.
Yes.
But no one, or at least it took a while for someone to think, oh, maybe this could be used to eliminate pain.
Well, and that is where the credit goes to Horace Wells. It's Horace Wells who decided to take the risk, use laughing gas, and have his own tooth pulled out. That is the first battle for credit was over who discovered the principle of anesthesia.
Right. That's a key part of this play, the sort of four men who all claim a piece of the credit
right.
and how that plays out.
Yes.
And in a way, ether was an accidental discovery where a man takes laughing gas, ends up falling over, hitting his face really hard on a bench and breaking his nose. But Wells, this dentist, realizes he doesn't feel it. And that's what gives him the idea.
Right. Exactly. And that is in Hartford, Connecticut when that happens. The events in the play are tightly compressed. In truth, it took about 20 years for all of them to play out. But the first year in 1846, all of that happened. Horace Wells tried out laughing gas for the first time and then went to the dome, and that was where Massachusetts General took it up.
And as you said, a lot of this play is about the development, the discovery, and then the wrestling among these four men about who deserves credit and how it affected their lives.
Well, each of these men has a legitimate story. So it was very important to me that I not come down on anybody's side.
One of the pieces of press material I think I read about this talked about altruism versus ambition. Tell us a little bit about the altruism of Wells versus the ambition of Morton.
Yes. Well, Horace Wells was an idealist, and that at the same time was his weakness because he wanted Laughing Gas to be free to everybody and for all kinds of reasons. John Warren was the same way, actually. But William Morton decided he could make a buck off it.
William Morton had been a student of Wells.
Yes.
And he saw Wells experiment with ether, have a failed demonstration, and then he decided, I'm going to keep pursuing this, even though my mentor wasn't successful.
Right. William decided there had to be a way to make this work. And then he went to Charles Jackson, who was a surgeon at Mass General, and got the idea from Charles Jackson. Of course, there are many versions of this story, but that is the most popularly recorded version.
So what's interesting is that Wells felt that people shouldn't have to pay to have pain-free surgery.
Right.
Morton, his student, felt like this is a great opportunity for a patent and some profit.
Right. But Horace Wells was a devotee of Hippocrates. All doctors took the oath, and that meant you were not to get rich off your patients.
And I know that Wells was very haunted by the fact that as a dentist, he caused people to suffer. He was troubled by that.
Yes. And there was a saying at the time, which was, it's understandable how the patient lives through it, but it's not how the doctor lives through it. Doctors were as traumatized by their jobs as patients were by operations.
Liz, I know that you have the view that the discovery of anesthesia also opened the door to the commercialization of medicine, and maybe not for the good.
Yes, because doctors had been selling their homemade remedies and their tinctures and all sorts of things for rheumatism, etc. But this was different. Sulfuric ether was a drug that they knew instantly would turn around medicine and turn around the experience for everybody and would enable 90% of patients to survive the operation and to ask patients to pay for this, regardless of their ability to pay, was so unethical that many doctors refused to use it, even after it had been proven.
And Liza, this is a personal question for you, but I understand that this whole issue has really special resonance in your case because you have leukemia, so you have firsthand experience with these extremely high-priced medications and the debate over the ethics of that kind of pricing and access to those drugs.
Yes, I was initially put on Gleevec for my treatment. It failed after about a year, but in researching it, I realized that that drug had been kept off the market while the pharmaceutical company was waiting for enough customers, which meant that people were dying while the pharmaceutical company was waiting to see if they could make money on it.
Obviously, then, the discovery of anesthesia was a great benefit to mankind. But do you also see downsides in it somehow?
Yes, many people have been given pain relief. But there are still many people who are not given it. Women are still judged morally by their ability to give birth without pain relief. And there's enormous pressure on women not to have pain relief, that you're a better person, you're a better woman, you're a better mother if you don't get any pain relief.
Specifically during childbirth.
Right. And still, for years, until recently, children were not given enough pain relief for operations. It is still a very moral issue.
Just as an aside, there were some very funny, snooty regional references, you know, disses of Hartford and boastful references of Harvard. I thought that was funny. Those got laughs from a Boston crowd.
Yes, and there are references to Boston drivers back in the
1840s. That's right. Even then they were wild. Were those fun to weave into the show?
Yeah, and I was unsure how people would take them, but luckily everybody seems to enjoy being gently made fun of. So
Liz Egloff is the playwright of Ether Dome, now playing at the Huntington Theater Company's Calderwood Pavilion at the BCA. Liz, thanks for coming in.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.